I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
We're visiting a beetle spit village next to a chicken piddle lake on a donkey dung island. You can bet we're gonna swear.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
Goodwin ran off last night. But today, we're reading Chapter 9 of Melting Stones.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's have an audience with Her Highness.
All right, Brittany, take it away. What happens in Chapter 9?
Okay, so Evie is going back to... Where are they? The inn. That's where she's going. She's going back to the inn to see how much trouble she's going to get into because she ran off in the previous chapters. When she gets there, Oswin, Jaya, and Luvo vouch for Evie and are saying, hey, Evie hasn't been acting herself, and which makes Fusspot very angry because he's like, are you guys seriously going to listen to this crap? They do. So they listen to what Evie has to say. And they realize that there is a volcano underneath. So they call up all the council people to decide on what they want to do. That's it.
Yep. Sounds good. Step one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. Brittany, you want to go first since you gave us the recap?
So my first like is when Evie first walks in and Murtide tells Evie, well, Her Highness graces us with her presence, and he looks like he just swallowed the Midsummer Goose whole. It reminds me of episodes of Scooby-Doo where Shaggy and Scooby eat a bunch of stuff and you can see the shape of the food in their neck. I don't know why that reminded me of that, but that's what it reminded me of.
I also love that.
My next one is when Oswin starts defending Evie, and Evie's like, why did Oswin stick his neb in, as Briar would say? Saying things Briar would. Her teacher has rubbed off on her. It's very cute. My next one is when Luvo scares Evie because he starts talking with the power of his mountain. It's like, this scares me when he talks like this because she always forgets how old he is and how much power he has until he starts talking with said power and wisdom. It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because he's worshipped as a god. It's kind of hard to forget that kind of thing when you're just walking around with a gummy bear, basically. But no, this guy is a god. Listen to what he has to say. my next one is when Fusspot starts getting all agitated that everyone's going to listen to Evie, as Aze tells him, "Be still. Unlike you, she has an idea. You have only tests you wish to perform." I said, "Shut up, guy. You only think you know something. She actually knows something. Let's listen to her." And thank goodness they do, because if they hadn't, these people could possibly die. So, that'd be horrible. I have a feeling some bad things are going to happen anyway, but at least they're being forewarned much sooner than they would have if they're just going by Rose Thorn and Murtide's tests. I feel like it'd take even longer with just those. My next one is when Oswin goes to pick up both Luvo and Evie, and his face turns red. Evie's like, the Emperor of Yangjing gave me a coat made of silk that was the same color as your face right now. Yeah, that's very comforting. That's something I definitely want to hear while I'm struggling to hold you up right now. Thank you, child.
I think she says that she decides she wants to distract him because Luvo's weight is so much. I'm like, yeah, great distraction.
Right?
I mean, I guess maybe it was a distraction because now he's just upset about something else, but yeah. I don't feel like that helps.
That did not help at all, especially her next comment saying, "You're very strong for an old man. I'm 45. That's not old."
"It certainly is not," says Luvo.
That's so funny. "My husband is 45. He would also say he is not old.
I remember turning like 25 in the presence of second graders, and they all thought I was old. And then I was working with a teacher who was in her 50s or 60s, and she was like, "I guess I'm just dead."
That's how Lupo was feeling. Because if Oswin is old at 45, he's dead. He's thousands of years old.
Well, Luvo is ancient, and if he doesn't believe that, he needs to get over himself. Though, to be fair, Evie did mention in an earlier chapter that he doesn't seem to understand that she is not going to live for thousands of years.
Yeah, no. Thousands of years old? That's nothing.
45 to Luvo? He probably thinks Oswin is a baby.
Yeah, probably. Okay. My next one is when Evie and Rose Thorn are talking to Azaze, and Rose Thorn tells her, "Evie and I have an understanding. She tells me the truth, and I don't hang her in the first well we come to. It's a solution that works tolerably well for both of us."
Yep. This is the second time that she has said, "Evie and I have an understanding."
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I like their understanding.
Yeah. We get the classic hanging in the well mention. I think in an earlier episode, somebody mentioned that there was not enough hanging in the well.
And I liked her next comment that he tells Azaze, because Azaze asks if Evie was such a handful. Rose Thorn says, "As much as my student, her former teacher, Briar, was a handful, he and I had a similar understanding." "Mind me, and I won't hang you in the well. Tell me the truth. I won't hang you in the well." Perfectly reasonable to me.
Absolutely. This begs the question, when Briar is older, what is his threat to his future students going to be?
Well, he's also going to hang them in the well.
Yeah.
He's got to carry on the tradition. He's got to keep his mother's memory in place. And so it's going to be a never-ending cycle of well hanging.
If someone has a fan fiction out there of adult Briar with a student threatening to hang them in the well for something, I would like to read it, please. And thank you.
Yes, same.
Pebble of reading circle at gmail.com.
yes,
send it to us.
My next one is when Rose Thorn is getting Evie to drink some tea to make herself feel better. Evie tells Rose Thorn, "You could try harder to make them taste good, you know." And Rose Thorn says, "Now, where would the fun be in that?" I agree. Like, I don't like torturing people. It's great fun. I'm helping you, but I'm torturing you at the same time. It's great fun.
But to be honest, there is like a point in having bitter reticence, right? Because
yeah,
that's what keeps our children from just drinking the medicine because they think it's candy.
Yeah. My next one is when Murtide asks Luvo, how does his mountain do things with Luvo gone? Luvo's like, my mountain rejoices. When I'm there, I do all kinds of crazy things to this mountain. And the mountain's like, please stop. For the love of God, stop. And they're like, oh, you're leaving? Thank God. We can finally just rest. My next one is when Ebby is looking at some of the rocks that she had collected through the day. And Azazé is trying to get her attention as she keeps napping underneath her nose. Ebby is just not paying attention until Rosethorn kicks her. And Azazé's like, I could have kicked her myself, dedicate Rosethorn. Let me kick the kid. It'll be fine. And that was my last one.
I'm going to jump in here because I'm going to build on the thing that you said about Luvo says his mountain rejoices.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm in the wrong chapter, and I may very well be in the wrong chapter. Ebby says something about how she doesn't believe that Luvo's mountain is as happy about him gone as he seems to think. Nope, that's a different chapter. Okay.
I don't recall that.
Then I will touch on that when we get there. Mild spoilers.
Womp womp.
Whatever. I know that this is a common idiom, and sorry if you already touched on this one while I was out of the room. When Ebby gets back, she observes that Murtide looks as if he just swallowed the midsummer goose whole. And I understand that it's an idiom and that it means that you look so full of yourself. But honestly, if I had swallowed a midsummer goose whole, I would look absolutely sick. They say that Ebby started acting weird. I think Luvo says she started acting weird after she investigated the lines of old power, which I think supports Brittany's earlier theory that it was messing with the lines that gave Ebby the fizzes. Murtide refers to Luvo as, quote, an animate rock.
I mean, he's not wrong.
He is and he's not. If I were the sentient heart of a mountain, I would be displeased at somebody referring to me as a mere animate rock.
That's true, but I mean, he also is not wrong.
I like the phrase an avalanche of words. It's very like appropriate for Ebby, and it's like very evocative. Rosethorn describes Ebby as, quote, appallingly truthful, which is another just beautiful phrase that just perfectly describes children, just children, all children.
Yes.
Brittany speaks from experience.
Yes.
Well, her child that speaks a lot is appallingly truthful. The other child doesn't have enough words yet.
Yeah, Malia told me the other day, Mommy, I think you're getting fat because you have a baby in your tummy. Thank you, child. I appreciate it. She's very nice to me.
I love this. Luvo's always like criticizing humans for rushing around. And then he's like, oh, wait, we could escape the volcano. So I like that he kind of discovers a purpose to the rushing around.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting, like, culture clash going on here. The tea that Rosethorn gives Ebby. She talks about having to drink all of the tea. Is this the chapter where she says, don't make me drink the sludge, and then throws it into the fire and the fire roars up?
Yeah, and everyone's like, whoa.
There is a poet named Bill Moran who worked for a while as an EMT. He actually has a series of poems. I have his chapbook, Oh God, Get Out, Get Out. And he has a series of poems that are sort of inspired by his work as an EMT. The first one is called Activated Charcoal Healing Ritual. And all the rest are like related because there's like activated coffee healing ritual, activated bad math healing ritual, etc. In this piece, Activated Charcoal Healing Ritual, it says, procedure, administer per oral. It is often premixed with laxative sorbitol, as poisons may break free into bloodstream if allowed to sit in body through a normal day. Fluid is a suspension. Keep shaking container to keep charcoal from separating and settling at bottom. Dark fluid looks inky and unappetizing to most. Deliver in opaque styrofoam cup with lid and straw to hide appearance. Sorbitol sweetens the taste, but most will vomit and won't be able to finish. Encourage them. Explain they have to start over if they cannot ingest it all. So this is procedure for helping someone who's ingested poison. Reading that made me think of this nasty thing that you have to drink, and you have to drink all of it.
Save your life.
Yeah.
Definitely did for Evie, because she was not doing very good.
Yeah, and she remarks that Rose Thorn's medicine really does make her feel better.
Yeah.
Rose Thorn knows what she's doing. From the way the flames reacted to the sludge, however, I wouldn't want to drink it either.
Mm-mm.
And my last note is Oswin's maps. I love his maps. I love the
well, good of an appear. I'm sure he would gush about some maps.
I'm sure he would. I've gotten like kind of into cartography lately, so it's especially fun to read this. And there is a streamer who I follow, does Twitch streams of cartography. Like, he just draws maps and hangs out with people. It's great. He literally calls it cartography and chill. Actually, I think I'm misgendering them. I think they have made them pronouns. I wish that they read this book so that they could do Emelon maps.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
All right, Indy, I'm going to pass the mic over to you.
When I lie, I'm smart enough to keep it simple. Words to live by.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Honey would just make the experience pleasant. I haven't forgiven you for racing off without a word. Wherever did she find the herbs for these drinks? I was always afraid to ask. She would tell me.
She sure would.
Meat creatures.
We are all just meat creatures.
You're all just meat creatures.
I wonder if Luvo needs to read the short story, They're Made of Meat.
Maybe.
I feel like it's worth pointing out, she tells everybody about like the volcano spirits, the magma spirits in this chapter, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that we were talking in an earlier episode about like, have other mages talked to magma spirits? Rose Thorn says, we had to read classic writings in the Book of Earth Magic. A handful of mages wrote of spirits of molten stone found deep in the earth. So there are people, other people in the past, who have talked to magma spirits.
Be cool.
Which means that there's a good chance that at least a dedicate would know what she was talking to. She was like, oh, I feel stupid because I'm not a full mage yet. Rose Thorn, even though like stone is not what she studies, has enough knowledge about it that she could probably go, oh yeah, those are volcano spirits. Oh crap.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're
you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Part 2 of our 3-step reading process is Reading Like a Dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find? You want me to go first?
Do it.
I wrote listening, because listening is important. No matter who it is, people need to be listened to. And if they didn't stop and listen to Evie and they just punished her and sent her to Whiting Circle to dip candles for the rest of her life, then she'd be the only person surviving this ordeal. So
I was going to say discussion for obvious reasons, but similarly related.
I was also going to say discussion because they're all discussing everything that's going to happen with the volcano things. So
volcano things.
Volcano things.
Boom.
Boom.
Boomy things. See, Goodwin is our expert on boomy things.
And he's not here. He's missing out.
I know.
Well, at least things aren't actually going boom yet for him to miss. So
right, right.
Something of boomy things. So it's
he's fine. He's also been waiting for a volcano since literally season 3.
I know. He's like, it's volcano. I'm telling you, it's volcano. Now we have confirmation it's volcano. He's not here.
Yep. Ben Goodwin was just like, it's volcano. Mic drop. I'm out.
Yep, basically.
So I don't need to be there.
I don't need to be there. Y'all already know what I think. It's a fucking volcano.
Part 3 of our 3-step reading process is Reading Like a Mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter?
You pick me.
Do it.
Be still. Unlike you, she has an idea. Listen when other people speak. I know I have a big problem with that. I like to solve problems, try and come up with solutions. Sometimes people actually have the answer. And I just need to remember to listen to them because they know what they're fucking talking about.
Mine is the part where Oswin, Jaya, and Luvo all come to Evie's defense. They realize that something's off about her. They make that known. I want to be able to notice when something is off with the people around me in case they have something that is going on with them too. I want to be able to help them if they need it. So I guess to be more observant of everything that's going on around me.
Well, I have more than one, so I'm going to speak on behalf of Goodwin.
All right. Sounds good.
Goodwin's theme. This is a very appropriate theme for Goodwin, too. Or sorry, not theme. It's Goodwin's magic, and this is very appropriate for Goodwin, is don't get fancy when you're telling lies.
Yeah.
It seems like something he'd say, right?
Sounds like something he'd say.
Mine, I wrote down two things, but they kind of go together. Kids have important contributions and they don't act out without reason. Typically, when kids are acting out, there is some sort of rationale for it. We can't see it, but there's usually something else going on. And sometimes if you get to the bottom of that, it's like, oh, shit, there's something serious going on. Sometimes it's just that, well, they wouldn't let me be a cheetah lizard. True story. But kindergartners are amazing. But yeah, sometimes it's a really serious problem. Teaching high school, I know that a lot of the students I've had that have acted out on the regular have done so either because they feel starved for attention or because they feel like none of the adults around them care about them, which are sort of the same thing as well, but which is not a good place for any, like, nobody should be in that place. So I feel like it kind of goes along with yours, Brittany.
Yeah.
It's important for us to, like, go, wait, what's the bigger purpose for this?
Exactly.
Yeah, and then similarly, listen to people, like Indy said, listen to people, including children, because they have important things to say.
Yep.
My mom has a story that when my brother was very small, he told her that she had forgotten to roll up the car windows. And she was like, no, I didn't do that. Rained. She'd forgotten to roll up the car windows.
Yep. You know what he was talking about? Should I listen to your kid?
Yeah, I guess it's excerpt time.
I feel like when you edit this is only going to be like a 20-minute podcast again. Like,
that's okay. That happens sometimes. It's fine. A lot of our early season 10 episodes have been short.
And these chapters are a lot smaller.
Actually, you know what? We're deep enough into this that I think I can say this now. I feel like this book is kind of a palate cleanser. It's kind of a palate cleanser. I feel like it really goes back to the roots of the series. Because the first four books, the kids are younger and the problems are simpler, and three out of four of those are natural disasters. And yep. Here we have a younger person. The story is more simplified compared to what we just got out of with The Will of the Empress. It's another natural disaster.
Yep.
And so I feel like this book just goes back to the roots and it's like, oh, you know what? Just gonna throw this in here. And so to me, it feels like a palate cleanser. And I actually really like that. See, you asked me earlier if it was my favorite or like, oh, well, it's not your favorite. So it's not my favorite, but I do like the fact that it's just this, the tone shifts back to what the earlier books were.
Yeah. No.
The chapter title is Telling the Council. What do you think is gonna happen, Brittany?
I think that they're going to tell the council about the volcano that's potentially going to erupt.
Are you sure?
No, maybe actually they are going to tell the council about Osmond's plot to sacrifice all the children that he's actually been taking care of because of said volcano. So I think that's what they're going to tell the council instead.
And that's the part that I'm going to read. Goodwin, you know, is just going to miss it.
Womp womp. Poor Goodwin.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 10 of Melting Stones. Chapter 10, Telling the Council. Jyot came in with the oldest woman I had ever seen. Maybe she was as old as Lubo. Her skin could have been smoked and stretched over her bones. It was so brown and tight. Her eyes were like black jet beads. She wore a small turban of a nasty bright orange cloth. It didn't even match her pink and yellow plaid dress. That was tied at the waist with a brown sash, and she wore a ratty green shawl over the whole mess. She went barefoot, her toes more like roots than human feet. Her hands were knobby, too. She clung to Jyot with one and clutched a cane with the other. She looked right at me. Lackey can help you if you lie, girl. Her scowl would frighten street dogs. Her voice crackled like grease in the pan. If you do, every louse and flea I have taken off others will become your new friend. She glared at Azazé. You summoned all the council for the rantings of a disobedient child. You sent Jyot to drag me out of my nice warm bed. And over to the nice warm seat by the fire, master. Jyot handled her as if she were made of eggs. Gently, he helped the old crossbatch to a padded seat the kitchen girls had brought out. It was set beside the hearth. He didn't seem like he was dragging her. If Azazé was frightened, she didn't look it. Dedicate Initiate Rosethorn of Winding Circle, Dedicate Initiate Murtide, this is our mage, Tahar Catwalker. Tahar, sit down before you fall down. The tea is made just as you like it. The girl whose tale has alarmed us is Evie. Her companion, the little fellow, the green and purple crystal one, is Master Lugo. He is the heart of the mountain, but not locally, as I understand it. Mage Tahar snorted. Our mountains know better than to get up to such mischief. She squinted up at Rosethorn and Murtai, who were bowing to her. Stop that. Both of you have more power in your thumbs than I have in my whole body. We all know it. I can't say much for the temple's way of raising a child, if giant speak is true. Stealing horses, running all over without leave. Oh, she's done worse. Rosethorn's face was straight when she said it. Spying, fighting, stealing, insulting people of great rank. But how can you manage young girls these days? In this case, Mage Tahar, Evie has done us a favor. Without her warning, we die. We might yet if this council does not act quickly. We'll see. Don't bop like a girl at her first dance, Azaze. Get on with this. Tahar thumped her cane on the floor.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us. Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening. Let's all have coffee next week.
Not even seven yet. We're already on step three. This is craziness.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Clearly it's all Goodwin's fault the episode's so long.
But look, we like to try to blame Indy that they go on way too many tangents, but no, it's Goodwin. It's all Goodwin.
All of our season one episodes are like 20 minutes.
See, it's Goodwin's fault.
See, look, it's guys, stop me. I told you.
It's Goodwin.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.